Track 3, it's a continuation of Class 35, and we're in Eclastics.
I'll just get high in a kite. I won't get drunk, but just get real good and happy and see if that won't work. Well, to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do unto the heaven all the days of their life. Well, then he says, I made me great works. I builded houses, I planted vineyards, I made gardens, orchard, planted trees. Verse 6, I made pools of water with the wood and brings forth the trees. I got servants and maidens and servants born in my house. I had great possessions of small cattle that were in Jerusalem. Verse 10, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. All was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. Now, can you imagine all of that 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 man did? And yet, he was not satisfied. He did not have that fulfillment, as they would say today, in his heart. He was just not... There was still that void. There was still that emptiness after everything he had done. Well, of course, as we know today, only the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy that void within the heart of men. Verse 12, I turn myself, behold, wisdom, madness, and folly. For what can the man do that comes after the king? Even that which has already been done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly as far as light excels darkness. The man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happened to them all. Now this one event he's speaking of is death. It doesn't make any difference what kind of a man is, whether he's rich or poor, whether he's smart or whether he's dumb. Regardless of what the man is, one thing happens to all of them. Death levels everybody. Verse 15, I said in my heart, it happens to the fool, so it happens to me. Why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. Now, this natural, this where he says I was more wise, you remember that God gave Solomon wisdom, and God gave him more than just natural wisdom, but natural wisdom was very much included. And so he decides this, even all of this wisdom that I have, this too is vanity. And so, in all of this, the only conclusion that we can draw from the book of Ecclesiastes is that the only thing that's going to satisfy is spiritual riches. That's the only thing that's going to last. The only thing that can't be termed as vanity. Even the wisdom that God gave him, which in this case was natural wisdom, though God indeed gave him spiritual wisdom, I'm sure, as was noticed in his life, yet that natural wisdom did not satisfy him either. Verse 24, there is nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink, and he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw is from the hand of God. Who can eat or who else can hasten thereunto more than I? God gives to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he gives travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity, vexation of spirit. Chapter 3. To everything there is a purpose, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, and all of these different times. And of course we realize this today, that you can't forever be planting, nor can you ever be reaping. There is certain times for certain things, and so it is in our own lives that God has certain times to do certain things, and not always doing the same thing. Verse 14, I know that whatsoever God does, it shall be forever. And we can say the same thing in our own lives, that God is working an eternal work. When he works something in our lives, it is something that is going to last and be beneficial throughout eternity. Nothing can be put to it nor anything taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. Verse 17, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. There is time there for every purpose and for every work. And again, we've pointed that out. So he simply sums it up. Chapter 4, I return and consider the oppressions that are done under the sun. Behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Well, what do you know? There was oppressors back in Solomon's time. I thought we had all of those cornered in our market. Well, not really. Men have been oppressed from time on down. He says, I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. And this is done very often today, that those who are already dead and going on are really considered to be better off than those which are yet alive. Better is he than both they which have not yet been, who has not seen the evil work that is done in the Son. Again, I consider it all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool folds his hands together and eats his own flesh. Better is a hand full with quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. So he just couldn't look anywhere in any walk of life but what he found vanity, vexation of spirit, nothing satisfying.
Vexation of spirit.
Vexation of spirit. Well, it's just like you would say, just at his wit's end. See, it's just completely at a loss as to what to do. Just completely vexed or confused, and there was nothing to satisfy. Everything. He's always in a quandary over everything. We might say nothing solid, nothing really plain. Okay, verse 13. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and a foolish king. Well, here's exactly what we were considering a while ago concerning natural wisdom. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and a foolish king. And an old and a foolish king would be, of course, the one that did not have the spiritual wisdom of God. And then is defined, who will no more be admonished. And here is where real foolishness is when you can no longer admonish and teach anyone. If you ever get to the point where you're unteachable, then you're done and had it, that's all, to put it bluntly. So he explains it in this, an old and foolish king that will no more be admonished. Out of prison he comes to reign, whereas he that is born in his kingdom becomes poor. Chapter 5. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. Well, this simply means to go up and be more prepared to listen than you are to talk, because the sacrifice of fools is talking, as we found out in the Proverbs. They consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and thou upon the earth, therefore let thy words be few. Now he is speaking actually of religious things at this particular point, as we notice from verse 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Well, of course, it's better not to make a vow, and of course, we do not encourage you all to making of vows because they're too easily broken. Better just to believe God as we go along and to trust Him. But anyway, if you do make a vow, as He says here, it's better that you pay it. All right? Continuing in chapter 6. Again, he brings the one end unto man. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place, and that one place is the grave. And so this is all that natural man ever has any hope of. Now, he is trying his best to come up with a way to live eternally, one might say, but not so. All right, continuing chapter 6 and verse 12. Who knows what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life which he spends in his shadow, who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? So he's just here for a while, just as a shadow, and you know how long a shadow lasts, just till the sun goes down. And so man's sun, indeed, doesn't last for long. Chapter 7, verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment. Well, we have that good name, and it's the name Christian, and it's better than precious ointment. The day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Well, how differently God looks upon death and what men do. And, of course, we notice as Christians that the day of your death would actually be better than the day of your birth if you believed upon Christ. If not, that is sad. Verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. And so this would simply point to the fact that there is such a time that it's better to become rather serious and sober, especially about the things of God, because by sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. When men are brought to a place of conviction, indeed, their hearts are made better because of it. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. And that simply means they make light of everything. Better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. So the rebuke of a wise man, even though it is rather hard on a person, yet it is better than to hear such a happy-go-lucky song of a fool, which won't do you any good. Verse 10, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were not better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Now this is something that we might hear, and so we're cautioned against it. Sometimes you ever heard anybody say, boy, should I go back to the good old days? Well, according to the Scripture, this is not the right attitude. And when we understand it in the spiritual sense, you really understand, because to go back means to get further from the coming of the Lord, and that should not be the desire of our heart. Should be come quickly, Lord Jesus, and the quicker the better, you see. So to go back to the good old days is actually to put off the coming of the Lord. And so he says here that this is not wise. Verse 11, wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Wisdom is a defense. Money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to him that has it. And, of course, true wisdom will surely do this, because true wisdom is Christ himself. Consider the work, verse 13, of God. For who can make straight which he has made crooked? Now, I think we can take a wonderful personal lesson from this as to what God is doing in our own lives. If he has made something crooked in our life, that is, something that is not wanted by me, and something that is not exactly what I would feel up to par, something that would be missing or incomplete as far as I'm concerned, something lacking or wanting, maybe even something painful. Well, if it is God who's making that crooked, then don't try to make it straight. In other words, don't try to undo what God is doing. Don't try to get ahead of him and to deliver ourselves. Verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider this. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. Now this is what we were discussing in the book of James, that it is good in the day of prosperity, amen, be joyful. But when the day of adversity comes, keep this attitude in mind. God set one, that is, prosperity, against the other, adversity. And the reason he has done that, to the end that man should find nothing after him. In other words, that nothing would be lacking. James says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you are not lacking in it, that you be lacking in nothing. And so this is what we must learn, both the lessons of blessings and adversity, in order that we come behind in no spiritual gift or something that God is working in our lives. So he has placed them both together, that we should find nothing after, or after it's too late. All right, verse 16. Be not righteous overmuch. That means self-righteous. Neither make thyself overwise. In other words, a know-it-all. Why shouldst thou destroy thyself? And that's a quick way to do it. If you know so much nobody can tell you anything, then you're in trouble. If you're so righteous that the grace of God can't reach you, you're still in trouble. So that's what he said. You'll destroy yourself, and men will do this. And so it behooves us not to get to that place. Verse 17, be not overmuch wicked. Well, it seems like if you have to be wicked, well, don't be a whole lot wicked. Alright? Neither be thou foolish. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? This simply tells us that if a man persists in his own wickedness and walking after the flesh, he's going to die prematurely. Now, some people seem to think, well, when it comes my time to die, I'll go. But this is actually not the scriptural teaching. A man can actually cut himself off prematurely, and I don't mean by committing suicide. I mean by living ungodly and after the flesh, a man can die a premature death. And so this is exactly what Solomon says here. Don't be overmuch wicked. Don't commit yourself under the throes of the flesh. Neither be foolish. Why should you die before your time or prematurely? Verse 20. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And he pulled a page out of Paul's gospel at this particular point, and what truth there is in that. Chapter 8 and verse 2, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Alright? Now then, of course, our king is God. But as we read in the New Testament, God has ordained that certain men should be in authority. And so he tells us to be in subjection under those higher powers, for they are ordained of God. Alright, so I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment. The king tells you to pay taxes or go to the army or whatever he tells you, you do it. Why? Because that in regard to the oath of God. God has ordained the powers that be. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. We'd like to tell this to some of these Canadian draft dodgers, because that's what they did. They went out of the king's sight. They went off to Canada. It means that they ran away from him. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. That is what the government says. There is power to that. You're to obey it. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? You can tell me to pay taxes. Out of your mind. I'm paying too many already. See, this is the attitude of men. And it's the wrong attitude. So he says, who may say unto you, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. All right, now then, the promise in verse 5. Whoso keeps the commandment shall feel no evil. And so if God allows such a king to make a commandment, you will feel no evil whenever you observe that commandment. And so you can talk about the high taxes or what have you all you want to, but I don't know of a saint that has gone hungry because he's paid his taxes. And so this is the promise of God. All right? Verse 8, there is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. And that simply means that if a man's on his deathbed and saying, I ain't going to die, not me. Mm-mm. Never found a man like that. Jesus was the only one that ever had power over his own spirit, and he dismissed it into the hand of his Father. So there is no man that has power over his spirit to retain the spirit. Neither has he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And so men that persist in wickedness, that wickedness is not going to deliver them. Men think they can persist in their own evil causes, and that cause is going to deliver them. Hitler had that idea. Destroy all these people, and then you'll be delivered. That wasn't the way it worked. You see, such wickedness did not deliver Hitler, except to death. Verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I'd like to send this verse to the Supreme Court and to all the other courts across the land where they continue all of these crazy trials and all of that, and some of them for 3 and 4 and 10 years till they forget what they were all about. Well, this is what the preacher says, and this is exactly what men are doing today. They just keep rolling these things out and rolling them out. And because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And so